Well, I bid you Happy New Year, and we are going to begin our new year in God's Word as we end the preaching through the book of Ephesians. So take your copy of God's Word and open to the book of Ephesians. A letter, our last, certainly not our last time ever to visit this book. But as we've worked through this past year, what a blessing it's been as we've learned how rich we are in Christ. We've made our way through the final greetings, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 through 24. A number of people have asked me, well, what are you going to preach next? You'll have to come next week and find out. Ephesians chapter 6, let's stand to honor the reading of God's Word. And following that, I'm going to get on my knees and ask God's blessing on us as we begin this new year in His Word and over this preaching today. I invite you to join me. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 21. The Apostle Paul writes as he ends this fantastic letter, the church in Ephesus and surrounding churches. He says, so that you may also know how I am and what I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all, who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, we seek to love Jesus with a love that is incorruptible, a love that's persevering. And Lord, I pray that today as we finish the study of this tremendous book and have dug out so many eternal treasures, that they will continue to bless our souls as we seek to live for the glory of God. Lord, help me preach to the glory of God today. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us and would you speak to our hearts in a way that renews us for the coming year and for the lifetime of on mission living that we seek to be on as we are captivated now by the glory of God. May you be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Many, many years ago, I used to be a runner. I know I don't look it now. But years ago, I went to a church and I had a friend talk me into running with him a half marathon. They were actually going to do the full marathon, and if you run the half, you get to stop halfway through, so it's not quite as bad. Come and run it with us, Bradley, they said. Oh, you'll enjoy it. It'll be great. It was great. And so that led to me running after the half, running a full marathon with them. And then after I left that church and came to Mount Gilead, one of the first things that I did, it had some friends. Oh, you're a runner, right? Well, yeah, I'm a runner. We're going to Huntsville Marathon. Let's go run that, Bobby Martin said. And so we trained up and we went and ran that thing. If you don't know much about a marathon is a run, or in my case, run-walk, of 26.2 miles. It is a massive run. And you're not really, I mean, some people actually try to race that thing. Guys like me just try to finish it. And it's really a personal accomplishment. And it's an awesome thing. I remember when I first trained for my first marathon with a guy named Danny. And he had run several marathons, and we were training one of these big, long runs. And I just made the comment to him. I was feeling pretty confident. I said, well, Danny, this first marathon, I guess I'm just going to run from can to can't. That's the way the farmers work, from can to can't. I'm going to run from can till I can't no more. He said, no, you're not. I said, no. He said, uh-uh, you're going to run from can to can't, and then you're going to run 6 more miles. And if you've ever run a marathon, you know exactly what he was talking about, because there is this thing around mile 20, and sometimes it's mile 18, sometimes it's mile 22, where you hit, it's just this runner's wall, and your body just shuts down. It says, that's it. I'm not going anymore. You are crazy. You're out of your mind. What are we doing out here? I'm not running anymore. And you just have to run through it. And that first, boy, everyone that I've run to, it's the hardest, one of the hardest things I've ever done. And it's meant to be that way. It really goes all the way back to the history of the marathon. The traditional story of the history of the marathon comes from the Battle of Marathon in 490 BC. The story goes that a guy named Pheidippides, who lived from 530 to 490, who was an Athenian herald or a day-long runner, was sent to Sparta to request some help when the Persians landed at Marathon, Greece for battle. So Pheidippides ran 150 miles in 2 days to go ask for help. And then he turned around and ran back. And then he ran 25 miles to the battlefield near Marathon, where he witnessed the Greek victory. To which he then ran from Athens, ran back to Athens to announce the victory that he had just seen. And as he arrived, he famously announced, "We win!" And then he collapsed and died. So I thought we'd go take a run today. And no, I'm joking. You know, that's not going to happen. So what's the point of telling this story? The point of telling this story is to just to let you know that news matters when you believe in the cause. News matters when you believe in the cause. And in that day, there were no forms of modern communications that we have today. The only way you're going to get the word out to somebody, if you've got news for someone else, is for somebody to bring it to them. So I was reading that story and I thought, you know what? If I was Pheidippides and I had just run 325 miles in, say, 5 days, ultimately, to see the victory that I wanted to see, I'm not thinking about running anymore. I'm thinking about resting. Resting. My attitude would have been, we won! And that's all that matters. They'll find out when they find out, right? But for Pheidippides, that was not enough. Because he lived under the principle that a victory is not complete until it's announced and celebrated. Now that's also a principle that you see in Scripture. And you see it embodied in a man named Tychicus. You may have never heard of Tychicus. You almost didn't today. Because I was reading through Ephesians and trying to figure out how in the world am I going to preach this. I didn't know. Because I could just be real honest before I got to the point where I thought, do I need to preach this? I really didn't know who Tychicus was. And then I thought, that's a bad thing. Because here's a guy mentioned in Scripture who I've seen a number of other places, but I really hadn't studied. And so we don't want to miss a chance to find out why God speaks to us through this man as we have a chance to today. So let me tell you about Tychicus. Tychicus was a believer from Asia Minor who traveled with the Apostle Paul on his third missionary journey. We're introduced to Tychicus first in Acts chapter 20, verse 4. If you remember in Acts chapter 19, Paul had been in Ephesus, an area where Tychicus was from. And he had been preaching the gospel, and he really stirred up quite a ruckus. They almost didn't make it out of Ephesus with their lives. And then right after that, in chapter 20, we have an account of those that went with Paul to Greece and then Macedonia. And so this is the first time we see Tychicus mentioned. Acts 20 verse 4. And pray for me as I try to pronounce some of these names. Sopater, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, being Paul. And of the Thessalonians, or the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus, and Trophimus. Now, some of these guys, this is the only time we're going to hear their names, but some of them have parts to play through the rest of Scripture, and we learn about their roles. And this morning, I want us to look at the role that Tychicus played in advancing the gospel. So one of the problems that Paul faced was getting communication to the churches that he had established. You know, we have preached at Mount Gilead many of Paul's incredible letters, and we know about his letters that he sent to the churches, and we're thankful for them. But what we don't often think about is how actually those letters got to the churches that he was trying to communicate with. I mean, he lived in a time where you didn't just email somebody. You just couldn't drop them a text or something like that. You couldn't even put the letter in an envelope and put a stamp on it and send it, because back then the only mail system they had was a mail system set up for the high-ranking Roman government to get information out. So if you wanted personal information to be communicated, somebody was going to have to hand deliver it. And this is where Tychicus comes in. Tychicus, whose name means fortunate, was a fortunate one for the Apostle Paul to have as a companion, because God was doing an unbelievable work in the New Testament lands. People were coming to Christ through the work of Paul and others. And even in the midst of severe persecution, in the midst of suffering, the churches were being built up. Believers were coming to Christ. Disciples were being made. And the churches needed to know what God was doing. And Tychicus was willing to pay the cost to bring them the news. He is believed to carry certainly two letters, possibly three, to the churches. The letters of Ephesians, Colossians, almost certainly those two letters. And then possibly the letter of 1 Timothy. Because Timothy was preaching in, he was pastoring the church at Ephesus. And so there's a high likely that he brought that letter. A couple of verses with me. Look at here, we find Tychicus mentioned. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. He says, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant of the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose. When we mentioned this a little bit, you should know a little bit about Tychicus, because I mentioned him when we preached the Colossians. I've sent you him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, that he may encourage your hearts. I want you to notice the similarities that has to our verses today, Ephesians 6, 21 and 22. I mean, almost the same wording. So that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. So Tychicus was to be an encourager. In some ways, like the role that Barnabas plays, he is to be an encourager as he carries good news, the news of what God is doing throughout the world through the power of the gospel. Now, Paul possibly also sent Tychicus to Crete on one occasion with a message for Titus in the church in Crete. Titus chapter 3, verse 12, Paul writes, he says to Titus, when I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis. I've decided to spend the winter there. So do we know that Tychicus went there? We don't know. We know that Paul intended either to send him or Artemis. So again, you kind of see Tychicus's role. And then toward the end of Paul's life, Paul sent Tychicus back to Ephesus with a message for the church. We know this because we have in 2 Timothy 4:12, Paul writing, Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. So there you go. You know everything that I know about Tychicus. Congratulations. Let's pray. No, I'm joking. We're not quite done yet. So the question then becomes, what does God want us to get from the life of Tychicus? Well, I've got three practical points that we're going to look at. But before I do, I just want to say this. And I said this in my own prayer time with the Lord this morning. Lord, thank you for Tychicus. I don't know if I've ever said that before. I have not said his name very much. And I've just read you every place that he shows up. Lord, thank you for Tychicus. Why? Because he carried the treasure of God to God's people. And if Tychicus had not carried Colossians and Ephesians and possibly 1 Timothy to the churches, then those churches wouldn't have had these unbelievable, valuable truths to mind and grow with and celebrate and to better follow Christ. Just think about if the church of Ephesus had never received the letter to the Ephesians that we've spent almost a year studying. Just think, if we didn't have that treasured epistle today, because had Tychicus not brought it and delivered it, we probably would not have it. Thank you that here was a man who was willing to pay at great cost the price so that we could celebrate what God is doing. So we know what God is doing. So we know the truth of who God is and what he's accomplishing in the world. So let me give you three practical points from the life of Tychicus. Number one, believers need to be encouraged in what God is doing. And we need to be encouraged about the working of God in the world. We get excited about what we value. We do. When you get news that your ball team has won, I mean, this is South Alabama. We care about ball teams. Right? We celebrate that. We get excited. Or even when, like, many of you are grandparents and you hear that your grandchildren are excelling in some area, you get excited about that. Oh, little Billy got his first hit today. Oh, I wish I was there. Or little Sally finished her first dance recital and you were there. And you're glad it's over and you're glad that she did well. Little Bobby got good grades. We're thankful for that. But we get reasons to be excited over these things. Good news that we hear that encourage our souls. And as followers of Christ, we should care deeply about what God is doing through the gospel in our world and in our lives and in our communities. We should be encouraged by those wonderful things. And what is God doing? Through the whole of Scripture, the Bible says that God is working to restore us back to right relationship with Him. Through the whole of Scripture we see that God created us here to be bearers of His glory, to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever. And by being connected with God, connected in unity with each other, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor, love each other as much as we love ourselves. This is what we were created for here. But then the Bible says that sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, and now sin is pervasive through humanity and just dividing us, separating us, destroying us at the very core level of our hearts. First, separating us from God. For God is holy and we're now sinful, and therefore that separates us. It brings a form of death that shows separation, and then it separates us from each other as we're separated from God. It divides us amongst different nations. It divides us in different religions. But God has even shown us in the book of Ephesians, as we have studied through this, is that God is uniting even Jew and Gentile in the family of God in Christ to return us back to full unity with God and return us to unity with each other, bringing us back as one. God is working powerfully and wonderfully amongst us. And it should cause us to rejoice. When we see God bringing salvation to the lost, we should rejoice. When we see God overcoming in this drug-addicted land, addictions that go to the core that are destroying lives, and God's overcoming those addictions and drawing people back to Him, we should rejoice. When we see God meeting promises of provision and care for His children in our own lives, in our families' lives, in our friends' lives, in our communities' lives, and in our world, we should rejoice. We should celebrate. When we get on our knees and we pray diligently and God answers those prayers, we should rejoice because God is working. When we put out a call and a challenge to raise $30,000 for Lottie Moon and foreign missions, and we exceed that by $5,000, we should note that and we should celebrate, because it shows that we care about missions in the world. We should announce it and rejoice. And I am convinced that as believers, we don't celebrate the work of God enough and what God has accomplished. We are told to celebrate. We are commanded in Scripture to celebrate who God is and what God is doing. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say, rejoice. Look what the angels do in heaven when believers, when lost sinners trust Christ. Luke 15:10, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels over God, angels of God over one sinner who repents. They rejoice. The Bible says that we can even rejoice when things don't go our way, because we look and see that God's working even in our suffering. Romans 5:2-4. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. Through Christ we have access by grace to God. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces an endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. We rejoice because we know that in Christ, even our sufferings end with hope. That our greatest tragedies end in victory. Tychicus knew that the church needed to be encouraged with what God was doing. We should be encouraged with what God is doing. Secondly, if believers need to be encouraged with what God is doing, then it comes to reason that believers need to be intentional about sharing what God is doing. So media is pretty good about sharing bad news. Who's going to share good news? People that have good news. Who has good news to share in a lost and dying world? Christians do. Thank you. Believers do. And therefore, Christians should be intentional about sharing good news. Certainly, the good news of the gospel of what Christ will ultimately accomplish, that we don't have to fear death whatsoever. When we die, we go immediately and fully to heaven in the glory of God, in the presence of the saints that have gone before us, in the presence of Christ Himself, assured of eternal life forevermore without judgment in Him. We celebrate what God ultimately has accomplished for us in Christ. That's good news. And we also need to celebrate the good news of what Christ is actually accomplishing every single day in our lives. Christians are people with a testimony. By the very nature of a testimony, it means it's being shared. You're testifying to something. You're sharing something of good news. So testimony of God's grace should overflow in the church. Testimonies of God's grace should be overflowing in your Sunday school classes. Should be a part of what we do in Sunday school. Testimonies of how we have seen God work in our lives this week or this month. As we have seen answered prayer. Would you pray for me about these things? There's something major going on in my life. Then we see God work. Where do we just take that news and go, whew, I'm glad that worked out? No, we bring it back to those who love the Lord with us, have prayed for the Lord with us, and we celebrate what God has done. We need to have people share testimonies more in worship. That's something that's my fault that we haven't done more. People who have a good word to speak about what God has accomplished in their lives. Now, I know that we like to talk about what our ball team did this week. But let's not act like that our ball team accomplished more than God did. Because I don't care if your team's Alabama and you have won however many national championships, awesome. If LSU wins, I'm an LSU fan, y'all know that, Awesome. Some of you are Clemson fans. If Clemson wins, awesome. When it comes right down to it, I would rather my children love Jesus than any team win a game. You know? I'd rather somebody I love be healed because God's people prayed for them than a ball team winning. I would rather somebody learn about what Christ has done for them and put faith and love in the Lord Jesus Christ and to see that. I want to know about those things. I can read about the ball team in the newspaper. Let's share them. Let's share them more with each other. Where can we share? How are testimonies shared? Look, when missionaries come and share in the church, or when our mission teams come back and they share, attendance drops. Why? Because by and large, we don't care enough about what God is doing in the world around us. We need to be here. We need to care. We need to celebrate what God is doing in the world. Tychicus cared deeply about that. And we should too. And third, believers need to be involved then in what God is doing. If believers need to rejoice in what God is doing, they should be intentional about sharing what God is doing. If they're intentional about sharing what God is doing, the only way they can do that is to be involved in what God is doing. Tychicus knew about what God was doing because Tychicus was involved in what God was doing. He had traveled with the Apostle Paul on his missionary journey. And if we want to have great news about what God is doing, we've got to put ourselves in positions where we can be used by God. Now, what does that look like? Now, I'm going to mention a few things. Let me tell you, that could look like a billion things. There's no end to what God's plans are for you in His work. So if I mention a few things here and you go, that's not for me, that's not for me. I'm not saying it is for you, but I'm saying something is for you. You are redeemed to be placed on mission to bring glory to God as we touch people with the love of Christ. And so, what does that look like? Well, you may have a friend who needs to feel the love of God. And that means you take an hour out of your day, you ask your husband, you ask your wife to watch the kids, and you go eat lunch, supper, and you encourage them, and you pray for them, let them know that they're not alone. It may be sharing the gospel with somebody that you just met. The Lord says, hey, they need to know about Jesus. You go, God, this is not the time. God says, if I tell you this time, it's the time. Sometimes it means being involved in benevolence ministries. And there's so many wonderful benevolence ministries in Dothan. You have the Harbor House. You have Love in Action, Wiregrass Hope, all those that we have connections with here at Mount Gilead. Sometimes it means ministry. That God has shaped you to be able to serve. And sometimes it means teaching a Sunday school class or being a fellowship leader in those Sunday school classes. We don't fellowship enough as the people of God. And it's one thing that Mount Gilead, that we say we do good, and we do decently with it. But if the church is not just people who show up on Sunday morning. The church is the people of God living life together for the glory of God. And so let's find ways to connect together. And in fellowshipping as amongst Sunday school classes is a wonderful way to do that. Being a prayer leader in your Sunday school class. Somebody organizing the prayers instead of just having the prayers go out as they're tossed around. Somebody write them down. Somebody keep up. What have we asked God for? What has God answered? How has God answered those things? There's just no limit of how God can use us to restore a lost and hopeless world back to Himself. So as we press into this new year, 2020, as we see 2020, let's see ourselves encouraged with the fact that God is working. Let's see ourselves intentional about sharing good news. And let's see ourselves being involved in what God is doing in a way that we've never been before. In a way that connects us with the good news that we can share. So that the world sees the church rejoicing and saying, why are they so happy? Because we have Christ. Father, thank you for Tychicus, who knew that that news has to be shared if you believe in the mission. And that victory is not complete until it's announced and celebrated. And so, Father, I want us to be a people that are involved in your great work and then sharing your great work as we come back together, celebrating you and what you've accomplished every chance we get. And Lord, we want to see you accomplish all that your will desires. And that means you have sent out your church on mission. We like to say at Mount Gilead, we're captivated by God's glory and worship. We're connected to God's family and fellowship, and we're committed to God's mission and evangelism and worldwide missions. And if that is the case, then we're going to have news. A news that the world doesn't have. A news that gives us life and joy and purpose. Father, I pray now that we will be that people on mission with news to be shared. News to be celebrated. A God to be worshipped. We worship you now. Father, I pray for the church as we prepare moving into this new year. Not just a new year, but a new decade. Father, I pray that this decade would be a decade where we grow in Christ like never before. Father, I pray that it'll be a decade where we see changes in our lives. And I know most of us don't like change, but some change needs to happen. And it would be, it's a kind of change that you want to make as you recreate us into the image of Christ. And as you use us to spread the gospel so that the kingdom of God would spread around the world as more and more people bow the knee to King Jesus. Maybe that happens as we have an influence in our work, an influence in our family, an influence with our friends and our communities, our neighborhoods. Lord, give us opportunity. Use us for your glory. Make us a people of joy, even in the midst of suffering, knowing that even suffering ends up being hope as the victory is celebrated. Father, if there are those in this room that don't know Christ and they are separated, may this moment be a moment that you draw them back to you. That you breathe life into their dead soul. And that as they begin 2020, they could take not just physical steps into the world, but spiritual steps into new life. Father, accomplish your will amongst us. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And we like to use these steps as just as a place that we do business with God. You don't have to come and pray here, but you can. There might be something that is so weighing on your heart that this year you just want to give to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I don't know how to deal with this. But I do know this, that it's going to end in victory some way or another. And now I want to give it to you. Or maybe there's some areas in your life that you haven't been celebrating and God has been working greatly. Maybe you just want to come and pray and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your work. Maybe there's someone that you need to be praying for. You want to come pray for them, or some issue in your life that you just need to lay at the feet of Jesus. Father, we come now. We come now laying our hearts at your feet. I'm going to be here. Brother Mike will be here. We'll be happy to pray with you. If you need to trust Christ, come and speak to us. I just want to be a follower of Jesus. We're going to pray with you. We're going to go and counsel with you a little bit and help you make those first steps. We follow you today, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.